The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is all part of the uniform. Yes. They tried including me on it. They bought me this stupid shirt.
Derek, 5 minutes. Now that's a great looking shirt. Hi, Captain. Yeah. I'm glad I ironed it. It's perfect. Look at it. It's fantastic.
With, you know where your upper chest is?
Yeah.
With the goofy cowboy flowers. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm wearing my uniform.
Kramer, how am I going to wear this? I can't wear this.
Hey, this looks better than anything you own. You know, in 2 months' time, everybody's going to be wearing the pirate look.
Which consists of shorts, Gabe, some type of pullover like you're wearing there, and sneakers. That's my uniform. I ain't dressing up like a gooner.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
Well, I've been smited.
She's trying to hide it, I'm cool as ever. She's
You're familiar with the phrase?
Oh, very familiar.
Smite me, almighty smiter. I think that was Bruce Almighty. Yeah. So what did I say on Wednesday? I came on this show. I was talking about how I wasn't here for a few days because my kids were sick and I was up all night with them and a lot of the Big V, which, again, we determined I'm the only one that calls it the Big V.
Yeah, because the Big V means something very different to just about everybody else.
And I said what when I was on the show on Wednesday?
You wanted to make it perfectly clear.
Very, very clear.
Crystal clear.
Everyone know.
That you don't get sick.
I don't get sick. You can't take me down. I am impenetrable. I am like Thanos, which is inevitable.
Yeah, you know what happens to Thanos in the end?
Well, now I do. I have been smited. So I said I don't get sick. And then at about 9 p.m. that very day,
12 hours later,
not even. Oh, well, yes, I suppose. I was so sick.
Josh is celebrating. Yeah.
It's fair. It's fair. I'll take it all today. I was the Big V, the stomach cramps. Couldn't eat. The first thing I ate, you guys, was Cheerios yesterday at 3 p.m. And that was just like a couple of Cheerios. Like gingerly.
Nibbling on them like you're a little squirrel?
Well, squirrels are like... No, I was like gingerly placing... Like it was the body of Christ. Okay? It was like gingerly placing them on my tongue and hoping to God that it would stay down. I'm fine now. I feel great. Great's not. I feel good now. But yesterday... I wanted to die. Stomach cramps, you know, like where if you had a tummy ache,
yeah.
Every movement, everything, the dog jumps up on the bed and I'm like, oh God, please get off the bed, please. So I was thinking about that song by Jim Croce. You don't tug on Superman's cape.
Sure.
You don't spit into the wind.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
The last one's you don't mess around with Jim.
Yes.
I know that.
There is another line in there, but the point is you don't say out loud, I never get sick, because the good Lord will tell you, will remind you, actually you do.
Oh, you get humbled real quick.
And it was so fast and so furious.
Yeah, I'd believe it. I believe it. It comes out. I mean, so the question is, have you learned your lesson?
Yes, I have. Because yesterday, all I wanted was to drink some water. Like all I wanted was... I felt so dehydrated. Mm-hmm. Nothing is staying down.
Yep.
All I wanted was a cold glass of water over ice. You know, the little ching, ching, ching that the ice makes as it like falls towards the lip of the glass. And I couldn't do it. Nothing was staying down. So the moment that I was able to start drinking some Gatorade, start replenishing, I told you I wanted to go to like one of those IV places, you know, where you sit there in the chair and they just like shoot the IV into your arm and get the fluids back in my body. But that would have meant leaving my bed, walking to the car, getting in the car, driving the car, getting to the place, getting in the chair. None of those things were possible.
You know, they do home.
I was about to say, I think some of those places, you know, will come to your home.
So the only thing about that is, and this was the other detail, is if I was contagious, that felt a little like, come into my sick den.
Well, and also, well, I mean, also leaving at that point, if you were contagious, was probably the same thing. And I would assume that you were contagious, because if I had to guess where this stomach bug came from, based on your description of what happened the previous 2 days, my guess is, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb, this is your kid's fault.
Yeah, I got it from my kiddo. You know the song that's like, she got it from her mama? I got it from my kiddo.
This is the other
one. Full circle. It could be the norovirus. Are you guys hearing about the norovirus that's been going around the country? Like, there's like a huge spike in this. And
isn't that just the flu?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. why are we giving it a fancy name?
24 hours, like 24 to 72 hours. So you are miserable.
It's a big gap.
It is. And I feel very lucky that I was on the front end of that instead of the back end of that, because I could not have handled any more of that. So anyway, the point is, I'll take my shots today. You can take your shots. Josh, you can take your shots, like the because I deserve it. For saying I never get sick.
But you were also, it wasn't just saying, oh, by the way, guys, I don't ever get sick. It wasn't like a by the way. It was a firm,
yes,
definitive,
well, because
almost daring karma to come get you.
Which is exactly what it was. Which is exactly, again, to go back to the Jim Croce song, now we should add, and you don't say I never get sick. Because this is, you know, this is what happens. So feeling much better today. We have a full show today. We've got Jason Wilde today. We have Craig Karmazin today. I want to talk about the Green Bay Packers draft, which is rapidly approaching. But I saw a question yesterday, Gabe, that I thought you would appreciate. This is as I was like scrolling through my social media, because it was the only thing I could do while I laid in bed for, you know, 17 hours. Green jacket, gold jacket.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you rather have a green jacket or a gold jacket?
Super easy. You kidding me? It's the easiest question you've ever asked.
What is it?
It's green jacket.
Why?
You know how many people go into the Hall of Fame every year? How many people are getting a gold jacket every single year?
Oh, that's an interesting point.
Every single year. There are 5 to 7 people getting a gold jacket. Yep. You know how many people get a green jacket every year?
Just the one. Yeah.
One.
So you're saying it's a
exclusivity thing.
Yeah.
I think you have to add in the fact, too, of the exclusivities there, but the cool things that comes with being able to golf at the most important golf course in the world, pretty much at will.
Is that how it works? Does that work? Is that one of the perks of winning the Masters?
Well, yeah. So you get, if you win the Masters, you get a lifetime exemption. So you can play in the tournament until you get old enough and they go tap you on the corner. Hey, like, you can keep coming back, but like, let's not play in the tournament. You're kind of too old for that. But like the old past champions are still back for it. They come back for the champions dinner, playing the par three. You know, again, you get to meet the membership, so then you're going to be out there playing it a couple of times a year. Yeah, I mean, all the perks that go with that, you know, and you get to be a part of the, you know, again, one of the best traditions in all of sport. Like, I'm sure some of the Hall of Famers get together on occasion, but they're not getting all those Hall of Famers in, you know, all the guys who have a gold jacket in the same room together.
But it's weird to make the argument that winning a tournament, and yes, a very prestigious, well-known tournament, obviously, is bigger than making the Hall of Fame in what we consider to be the biggest sport going. Right now, again, you could compare it to soccer internationally, and of course, you know, that's fair. But like here in the United States, the NFL reigns supreme.
Sure.
So to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, it feels like that should just be by default the very best thing that you can accomplish. But, and again, I agree with you that it's probably the green jacket, only because of what you have to commit to in order to earn a gold jacket. Years and years and years of excellence. Whereas with a green jacket, you just got to do it that one day. You just got to have a good game or a good, you know, round and round and round, you know, a good weekend, I suppose, is the best way of putting it. Right, which again, not saying that's easy to do.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean,
but you
still
can fall into it a little more than you can a gold jacket.
Well, sure, but also, like, I mean, there's only 80 to 90 people playing in this tournament every year. I mean, on the upper end, it's 100. So you're still the hard work is still going in just to get to and play in the Masters, right? Like, 100 people is less than two NFL rosters. Well, you got to be one of the top 100 players, period, full stop, even to get there. And then to win one of those, yes, have there been some fluky winners? Danny Willett comes to mind. Yes. Nobody knows who Danny Willett is.
Oh, yeah, Danny Willett came to my mind also yes. when you were talking about fluky winners.
But most of the people who end up with a green jacket go on to have golf Hall of Fame careers.
Best of the best.
Huh. So this is a lot easier than I thought it was.
Well, I mean, for me, but also, like, I mean, I'm sitting over here with my Masters golf cup. I'm wearing my Masters quarter zip. I brought Masters food to our guys over at WTMJ for my segment over there today.
Did you bring us any food? Not that I could eat it.
I brought Josh a sandwich yesterday.
I had one yesterday. I'll have another one on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Pimento cheese?
Pimento cheese, yeah.
Just so you know, that sounds horrible right now.
I'm always uncomfortable when you start dry heaving on the air, so please don't.
As I continue to gingerly eat my Cheerios and banana pimento cheese sandwich. What if the big guy was here? Guy who played almost a decade in the league.
I think he would also say green jacket. Because I feel he always, every athlete, it seems like, because they've like almost been there, done that, they want to do and have the accomplishment in the other sport. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah. I mean, I played in the NFL, but it would be really cool to have the green jacket in golf.
This is like rock stars wanting to be actors and actors wanting to be rock stars
yes,
and all that type
correct.
Of stuff. You always want
correct.
What you can't have.
I think that's what it is.
I still think that there's a prestige that you can't get. Like, I think more people can name Pro Football Hall of Famers than can name Masters winners. So from a prestigious,
but
percentage-wise,
they can name more Master winners.
Well, because there's fewer.
Correct. That's the point.
We're doing a lot of math this morning, and my brain can't really keep up. It's going to be slow, I can tell. Huh. Green jacket or gold jacket? 800-990-3776. I saw this question rolling around on social media yesterday as I was laying on my deathbed with the norovirus, I'm guessing. I'm thinking that's what it was. 800-990-3776. I think that it's the what you have to do to win the gold jacket, to get a gold jacket, rather, that is probably the tipping the scale for me.
Well,
because
also,
it's just so much the physicality
yes,
of
the
it,
physicality.
The beating up your
I'm
body.
I'm not sacrificing my body. I mean, obviously, Tiger Woods, you see him limping around, but like for the most part, you're seeing old, like Freddie Couples, you're seeing him walk around Augusta National with very little, you know, physical consequences from his playing career. Chewy played 9 years in the NFL, and we hear him groan every time he stands up, right? Like there was a tax to his body from playing almost a decade in the NFL.
Lots of reaction rolling in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Lots of guys telling us what the third line of the Jim Croce song was, which was "Pull the mask off the Lone Ranger."
Ah.
So, yes, you don't pull that mask off the old Lone Ranger. That by Chef Ed and Brian in the Shaw. And then Ron in the Key says, hear me out. You may be speaking to a biased sample here, Jen. It's the NFL Hall of Fame, no question. He's talking about you.
Oh, me? Me? Nah,
he's talking about
so.
You.
I don't think so. I think I'm pretty level-headed on this one. I'm approaching this, seeing all angles. I'm not blinded whatsoever.
Jeff in the 920 wing and saying, hate to be the one that burst Gabe's bubble, but I don't think Tiger makes it through the day. He looks like dead man walking, can barely mark his ball. Did Tiger have a rough day yesterday?
No, he had a really good day yesterday. I mean, he bogeyed his first hole today. He's playing right now, and it looks like he just piped a drive on hole 15.
Come
so,
down, brother.
You know what?
Does it happen to be on the television behind my head right now?
What was the name of the texter here?
Jeff in the 920.
All right, Jeff in the 920. You can suck it. How about that?
Yeah.
Kim weighing in saying, my husband is a major golf guy, was his profession for a while. I'm football through and through. I would still take a green jacket over the gold jacket. You can have an off game and still get that gold jacket. You have to be at the top of your game for the entirety of the Masters to get the green, not to mention that you have to be invited. Alan also weighing in saying, I would rather have the green jacket than the gold jacket. Isn't it interesting that the Masters has been been able to take this symbol of success and make it so ubiquitous in sports. So much so that we are asking you whether you would rather be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the, by all accounts, highest Hall of Fame in this country for sports fans around here, for athletes here in our country. And people are going, ah, I'd rather have a green jacket. Right? They've done a, that marketing campaign is extraordinary.
Spectacular.
To have been able to convince people that the green jacket is more desirable than the gold jacket, Joshy.
You just got to weigh perks. When I look at a gold jacket, sure, you get the ceremony. Sure, you get the bust. Love to have a bust of myself. But put it on the jacket, going back every year. Well,
what would you do with a bust of yourself?
You don't get to keep it, do you? They don't
you
make
can
two.
Have it recreated.
Hey,
make a mold.
While you're making one, just make a second. I mean, let's order
two. I myself on the head there, little bronze guys. Look
as
at you.
You're walking out of the house. All right, pal, let's have a good day today.
Yeah, that all sounds nice, but the lifelong perks of Augusta and going back every year and the pomp and circumstance, like once you get into the NFL Hall of Fame, kind of loses its luster.
No,
like,
no
I'm saying going back every year is like, now I got to watch probably some people I don't think are all that deserving get into the Hall of Fame. People who I think come in an era that they didn't do as good as I did. They didn't work as hard. I mean, we listen to Chewy every day espouse those beliefs. So I want the what happens after I become a Green Jacket member. All that lifestyle, that's a good life.
We may have to call our friend Leroy Butler and ask if we are missing out on some of the pomp and circumstance that goes along with being an NFL, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, because maybe he'll tell us that there are gatherings. Maybe he'll tell us that there are parties and whatnot every year when they get when the new class is coming in. I mean, maybe we just don't know. Maybe they keep that stuff top secret.
Nah.
You know, I mean, and again, you probably made your mark, made your money throughout the course of the NFL. You know what else also comes with that green jacket?
What?
A $3.5 million check.
That's the prize?
Yeah.
Bucks.
Yeah, but if you're a Hall of Famer in the NFL, you've made significantly more money than that.
Well, sure. But you've also made money before that getting to Augusta, but you get a crack at that $3.5 million guaranteed every year.
Justin weighing in saying, give me the gold jacket all day. Alan weighing in saying, green jacket. Dave from Aaron saying, this argument reminds me of Happy Gilmore. Green jacket, gold jacket, who gives a Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you.
Great to catch up with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing on this Friday?
I'm doing great. Glad to hear your voice again. You feeling better?
Oh, so much better. Yesterday I was death warmed over. Where did that phrase come from, by the way? Death warmed over.
Great question. I don't know, but it sounds like something you would do with like hot cross buns.
I'm on it.
Thank you, Joshy. On the television screen ahead of above us, Mike Tannenbaum is saying that the Green Bay Packers are the biggest threat to the 49ers in the NFC, fair or unfair?
That's probably fair, maybe. I'm sure the Lions don't appreciate that. And look, I've kind of reached the point in the offseason, and I'm glad the draft is here because, you know, I love the actual draft, not the draft industrial complex. But I just don't know how much more we can talk about the theoretical who's this, who's that, Jordan Love, is he a top five quarterback? Like we need some new material. And the draft always provides that. So I'm excited that is right around the corner. Can't wait to see who they pick. But yeah, look, they've put together a young core. They've got a young quarterback that everyone is really excited about, and rightfully so. Their arrow seems to be pointing up in a big way. I do think, again, that we're putting more stock in a 9-game hot streak than maybe we should. And we think that maybe they're a little further along than they actually are. It was interesting to go through yesterday because Tausch and I got talking about Love again. And I know how good he was in the second half of the season. But Pro Football Focus, whose grades are not the end-all, be-all, they're for the entire season. And for the entire season, his overall grade had him 12th among quarterbacks. I don't think he's the 12th best quarterback in the NFL, but he's still got to prove this. He's got to confirm that who he was in the second half of the season is who he really is. And when he does that, then all the hype that we've experienced this offseason will be validated and we can continue to talk about them as the biggest threat to the 49ers.
So let's talk a little bit about Brazil then, Jason. Does the NFL allocate any tickets to local fan bases, or are they just hoping that everybody, you know, in Brazil buys these tickets and then, you know, if you're from Philly or you're from Green Bay and you want to go, you got to get them off the secondary market?
It's a good question. I do believe that the teams sell some tickets stateside, if I recall correctly, from the London experience in 2022. Now, I don't know. Look, the Packers, of course, especially when they were happy to go, wink, wink, and weren't forced to go at all, have touted the fact that they're the most popular or one of the most popular teams in Brazil. So I would think that Brazilians who have the means are going to buy tickets. I saw one of the guys that runs the Packers Brazil website and Twitter account was overcome with emotion that the Packers are coming. So, I expect them to have a home field advantage despite their short runways and the long distance they'll have to travel. But I do believe that the question I have is, I don't know how the Packers go about allocating those. Like, is there a lottery system? Is there, a package of tickets for sponsors and partners? I haven't dove quite as deeply into that. Probably could have, since it was becoming clearer and clearer that they were going to be the team, even as Mark Murphy held out hope that his short runways would keep them from having to go.
Jason Mulde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Okay, Jason, one, I know I sent you the picture. I did, in fact, get the Mel Kiper draft report. So it is sitting in my car currently. Do you guys want to do that today? Do you want me to open it up today? See if Tausch is in it?
Yeah, I would obviously have to defer to Jesse Nelson, who runs both of our lives. but I personally have been very, very, very eager for that to be delivered. And the teasing photo that you sent brought a very big smile to my face. I am still so blown away that I was trying to negotiate with the eBay seller who had those to just get the 2001. And you said, no, I'm just buying the whole stinking thing without Wilde even knowing I'm doing
just,
it.
Just pick them up. I can do that today. I have an appointment at 11:30. So if we do, it has to be before 11:30. If you could tell Jesse Nelson that would be super helpful. The reason I bring it up is because in Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft, he does, in fact, have the Packers taking an offensive tackle, I believe. Right, Gabe? The guy from Georgia?
Yes, Georgia.
Mims. But there's been so much, I want to say, affection for this Barton kid out of Duke. And Gabe and I were going through it this morning. He's going not substantially earlier, but enough, a couple picks earlier, to the Steelers, which makes me think that if the Packers do like that guy, they would move up. So I want to pose to you the question that Gabe and Chewy were posing yesterday. And Gabe, what were the parameters of the question?
Well, because we talked about this with you, Jason, and when I pulled up the draft chart. So we started playing around a little bit with the draft chart that I found. And, you know, we had discovered that if the Packers wanted to move up to 16, it would, you know, cost them pick number 58, and they could move up to 16.
16, the only reason that that's being thrown out there, though, is because there's thoughts that they would work with Seattle.
Well, so yes, there have been a lot of rumors that Seattle could be moving that pick, a number of teams interested. Packers, one of the teams rumored to be interested, so we were wondering what it would take to move up to 16. And then also further playing around with it, Jason, according to this draft chart, the Packers could package 58 and 41 and move up to 21, or, you know, kind of in that area should somebody want to make a deal. Yeah. So the question that became yesterday, would you rather have the 21st and 25th pick, or would you rather have 16 and 58?
I would rather...
Or excuse me, 16 and 41.
Yeah, I would, again, I would rather stay where I am. But again, I have not, I don't have a big board like the Packers do in their draft room. And the biggest thing to me, well, is two things. One, do they think that there is a drop-off somewhere in the teens that leads to a bunch of guys from pick 20 to pick 58 who are all essentially the same grade, right? That is one of the reasons why you move up, as we talked about yesterday. The other thing, though, and look, Ted Thompson, for like his first, I don't know, six drafts or something ridiculous, he made like 20 trades, and only one of them was to go forward. If you remember, it was to get Jeremy Thompson, who played, I think, at Wake Forest. He was a defensive end or outside linebacker guy. But we all know that in the 2009 draft, he made a huge trade up. I guess it would have been the fifth draft that he had then. And that was to go up and get Clay Matthews. And they don't win Super Bowl 45 unless Ted does that. So if there is a player that in Goody's mind is his Clay Matthews, just like Jordan Love was his Aaron Rodgers, then by all means, you give up those second-round picks or whatever the cost is to go get that player. Because if you have that level of courage, of that conviction, like Ted did with Clay Matthews, who he went to his pro day and he tried to hide the level of affinity that he had for Clay, and he decided after the USC pro day that Clay Matthews was going to be a Packer, and he was going to do what it took to make sure that he didn't. He was ready to probably pick him at nine, I would guess. But he had obviously talked to Belichick and had put together the possibility of that trade to go up to 26 to get him. So if they feel this way about Barton Fink or Amarius Mims, Barton Fink is an old movie with John Turturro, I think. I look, they got to do it. If you're that certain that this player, but my question is, when you go up and it's not for a specific player, then what group of players are you targeting? Like, is there four guys that you have a first round grade on that you don't believe any of them will be there then when you get on the clock at 25, right? Those are the kinds of questions that Goody has to figure out, and we'll see, because you made the point, I think, yesterday. I don't think you make this trade on, like, April 13th.
No.
I think you make this trade on the day of the draft, and quite frankly, as the 16th pick is approaching. But the downside of that would be, as Jen just said, if there are multiple teams that are interested in that pick, well, now there could be a bidding war for it, and it may, you know, get too rich for your blood, and then you end up not making the trade.
Last thing for you, Jason, before we let you go. Green jacket or gold jacket? Which would you rather have?
Purple jacket. I know this is not a popular opinion, especially right now, and given that Gabe just told me yesterday that this is his favorite time on the sports calendar. I don't really care about the Masters.
All right, Jason. Well, it was nice talking to you, pal. Maybe we'll talk to you again.
Sounds like it actually wasn't that nice talking to Jason based on your tone.
Great. Bye.
Oh, you really took that personally, huh?
I did. Well, I mean, he set it up for me to
take it personal. He was going to say gold jacket for whatever it's worth.
We'll never know.
On the ledger.
Mystery.
Officially with that vote.
Bonzo's Meat Market, 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee, because those warmer temps are here. So that means you should be heading to Bonzo's to stock up for grilling season. And they've got some great specials for you to do so. So this week, stop by for Bonzo's own fresh London broils, $11.99 a pound. Smokehouse Rip Beer Marinated Ribs, $5.99 a pound. Gouda Nuff half-pound pub burgers. That is, because I picked some of these up yesterday, that is their pub burgers with smoked Gouda cheese in them. That's $5.49 a pound. Also, grab lunch from the deli. You have a lot of great options. Typically, I go with the roast beef when I'm there, but so many great options at their deli counter, and they've got specials there as well. It's Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh, or you can stop by bunzels.com for store hours and more.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I am so impressed with Jordan Love, you know, and I think, like, Packers fans should feel so good about Jordan Love.
Fridays with Mo.
I think Rodgers never spoke out and was direct, and Giannis should be praised for being clear so that everyone knows, hey, Giannis told the organization what he wanted.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's
Craig Karmazin, I'll ask you the same question we asked Jason Wilde before we let him go. Green jacket or gold jacket? Which would you rather have?
Well, so I'm a total team sport person. So I would obviously gravitate toward the gold jacket, but I'm also not like a CTE guy. You know, I know there's a lot of people who are kind of into that. I'm not. So, I mean, am I going to be a punter who gets it? I don't know. It's really tough. I think if I can play like a, maybe if I could be Joe Thomas and be a left tackle who claims to have never gotten a concussion, I think I'll go gold jacket.
But I mean, you're also like, you play tennis. Like, that's not a team sport.
Right.
And also, the gold jacket has nothing to do with the success of a team.
Correct. It's an individual accomplishment.
The example you use, Joe Thomas, comes to mind.
Right. But if you think about it, like the Eli Manning types, like I feel like it has so much to do. The Hall of Fame, maybe that's just at the quarterback position, but I think of it as like super inflated. Like I think about Troy Aikman as a guy who would have been like, an average to below average quarterback if he wasn't on the Cowboys, but because he was on the Cowboys and he'd won all the Super Bowls, he's like a Hall of Famer and a legend. So I feel like it's so team relevant.
Yeah, I guess to an extent.
Saying gold jacket? I can't tell.
Yeah. I
He's saying gold jacket with no CTE is what I basically am.
Yeah, he didn't really answer the question. He avoided the question.
Yeah, I'm going Larry O'Brien trophy.
Okay, speaking of that, were you at the game on Tuesday, and how long did it take before you started to breathe again, if you were?
I don't know that I'm breathing yet.
Okay.
I got it, you know, I saw it happen immediate, like as close as I was to it right on the court, right? And it's not a humble brag, but maybe it is.
Cool.
To the right was Mike Kelly, point guard for the Wisconsin Badgers 2000, you know, Final Four team. And instantly there's a text, Achilles ? And, you know, then about 30 minutes later, text from my doctor who calls into your show, who loves you guys, who's like, that's the same injury as your injury. And that made me feel better. But mine, it took about a year and a half to be back to full strength. So assuming Giannis is a little better athlete than me, I think about 10 days versus a year and a half for me should be about on target.
Wait, how much? Okay. Year and a half? Were you doing any rehab? Were you doing anything like that to try to get it better before a year and a half?
Well, they had told... I tried to come back a little quicker, and I don't really do the stretching you're supposed to do. And it's not like I wasn't back, but until I felt like perfect, it was a year and a half. You know, because then you do things where you make it worse, and then you don't do things for a while. But I think Giannis has proven to be a superior athlete to me during his time with the Bucks. So I feel like I trust him more than me.
So obviously part of that is that he will miss the rest of the regular season. How much concern is there that Giannis won't have these last few games before the team heads into the playoffs?
I don't think there's a concern about that. I think the concern is, will this team ever get to play all together? Like, it's unbelievable. Like, every time it's about to happen, you know, Chris gets his tooth knocked out, or, you know, Giannis has this non-contact injury. It's like, this team has been so elite when you have the full team together, and it's just like, no matter what the team does, you just can't get these three guys on the court at the same time.
Right, so those two things are obviously inextricably linked, because he will miss the last three games, and that is part of...
But I don't think it's like, oh, they haven't figured each other out, and they would have in those last three games. Like, I think we've seen it, whether it's LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Like, it's tough to do it in your first year together, and I don't think those three games would impact that. I think the interesting thing is, will he be able to practice with the team leading into the playoffs? Because that's actually one of the most concentrated practice times a team gets all year. And we know before Giannis came back before the NBA Finals in 2021, they put him through as tough of an individual workout as players go through before the NBA draft. So they're not going to take this lightly of just like, oh, Giannis says he's ready, so he's back. So the question is he ready to go through the rigorous workouts that they're going to expect of him in order to clear him for game one of the first round of the playoffs?
How cautious do you think they're going to be, and do you think they can win an opening round series without him?
They're going to be super cautious. I think Giannis is going to not be cautious. And so,
well, that's just who he is. Because again, you bring up the finals. Like, I just kind of feel like there's no way he should have been playing on that, and yet he did and scored 50 points in the clincher.
So they're going to put him through it, so they're going to be cautious. Now, can the Bucks, with Dame, Chris Middleton anchoring a team, win a first-round series? Absolutely. Can they win two series without Giannis? I mean, I think that would be really, really matchup, you know, specific to be able to win two matchups, you know, seven-game series in a row. I think that'd be really, really tough. I mean, you remember back a few years ago, without Chris, the Bucks had the Celtics, you know, up at home in game six, you know, in 2022, against the Celtics team that was a really good team. So, yes, you can do it, even a seven-game series, but two straight series without Giannis would be a huge ask.
Craig Harmsen hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So I tweeted this out the other night. It was almost as though you were obviously at the game. I was at the game on Tuesday. The Fiserv Forum was electric. It felt like a playoff atmosphere to me. Crowd was into it. Obviously, it helped that the Bucks got out to a big lead and then, you know, held it for most of the game. Is there something of like, we can't have nice things happening here? You just mentioned how we haven't been able to have Chris and Dame and Giannis out on the court all at the same time. What is the number, by the way? Did I see eight? Is eight games the number that they've actually had, or does that seem high? Do you know, Craig, off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of my head. I think it's more than that, but it's not much more. And, you know, when you look at the minutes on the court, you know, the net rating is as good as any team in the league when you have that group. I think the interesting thing is putting Pat Beverly in the starting lineup as opposed to Beasley. I almost dropped a Michael Beasley. Because the thought is that Beverly is there for defense, but in actuality, the offense is better with Beverly, which is fascinating because Beverly, you don't need to run plays for. Beverly keeps the pace going. And I mean, that acquisition, and the Bucks have had some, we could be honest, over the last few years that haven't made an impact in the postseason. You know, you think about whether it's Serge Ibaka, Pau Gasol, you know, there's, you know, seemingly ones that haven't made an impact. Now, Patrick Beverley could be one of the most critical acquisitions that we've seen at the trade deadline in a long time in terms of him impacting just the energy level of this team. I mean, we're hoping, right, as Bucks fans, that this is like the PJ Tucker acquisition, which was that, you know, get over the top move.
Well, yeah, with, I mean, I'm excited for Beverly in there in the starting lineup. Do you think they end up shortening the rotation? Is there going to be an odd man out? Do we see less of Bees? Do we see less of Pat? Because it seems like the wing position, especially if he's going to be starting, if Pat Bev is going to be starting, the wings, it seems like there's a log jam there with Jay Crowder, Beverly, Beasley, and Pat Connaughton coming off the bench.
And Pat, and even A.J. Green.
A.J. Green,
has gotten meaningful minutes. You know, Ajax has been out of the rotation for a while, but I don't think it's like, you know, in the postseason, it's never like, oh, we have a log jam. It's, can we find someone who can be productive in those minutes that's not going to be hunted on defense by whoever, you know, the best pick and roll unit is of the team you're playing against, and who's not going to be left open, you know, on offense, right? In the playoffs, like, you know, just options are a great thing where you can find someone. I mean, let's remember, in the championship run, Bobby Portis had DNPs, coach's decision. Bobby Portis had 0-minute games in the championship run. Like, the idea of just making sure you can keep a player on the court. So I think just the more options you have, the better. And we know Doc Rivers and his coaching staff now, they're a more veteran coaching staff who are going to lean toward people they trust. So just more people you trust going into the postseason is a huge thing for any team.
All right, Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You too.
Have you tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It's the clean energy drink that you need, that I need to stay active and energized all day long. Could have certainly used a Celsius Energy Drink yesterday when I had zero energy. I have one every Saturday morning before I hit the air during college football season, and it keeps me going throughout the entire weekend. Celsius is what I choose to stay on top of it all, and you can find Celsius at your local Pick and Save or online at Amazon. Celsius is also the presenting sponsor of our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought that they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you missed any of Craig Karmazin and or Jason Wilde's appearance this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. Big news yesterday, guys, in the Shohei Ohtani situation. And when I say big, I mean like big bucks, big money. So there has been a federal investigation into this, and it turns out that Shohei Ohtani knew nothing about the fraud and the theft that Ipei Mizuhara, his interpreter and I think former friend, was.
I think that's pretty safe. You steal 16 mil. I think that becomes former.
I'm guessing that they're former friends, but
friend,
I mean,
financial advisor,
alleged
banker.
Former friend. Yeah, exactly.
former to all of those.
Got
things.
A lot of titles.
Ex banker, ex financial guy.
And so what this does is it puts to an end any speculation there was that there was some sort of ghost betting going on, that Ipei was somehow ghost betting for Ohtani, because the federal government doesn't get this wrong. I mean, they did an investigation, a deep dive investigation into this, and all evidence came back indicating that Shohei Ohtani knew nothing about the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that was being stolen from him.
There's an exasperated
sigh
coming from the other side of the glass there, Joshy.
I don't know. I'm not Shohei Ohtani rich. I don't really know anyone Shohei Ohtani rich at all. But $17 million out of your bank account and nobody has idea? You're calling the bank and just saying, hey, I'm Shohei, trust me? Like, the federal government clearing Shohei in this situation means nothing to me. I think it still feels extremely fishy. It feels like a lot of things are being tightened up, the loose ends have been wrapped up very perfectly to clear Shohei of all wrongdoing.
Wait, but how do you fake those phone calls that they have?
They have phone calls, certainly. But he could just be posing as, like...
I mean, so this would be an incredibly deep, like...
Well, yeah, the federal government might have killed JFK, so...
Well, yeah, but... Well, I mean, the federal government did kill JFK, but that's neither here nor there. Like, I don't think the federal government is going to cover up something for a Japanese baseball player.
Even though he's the unicorn of the sport?
I don't think they give a rip. Like, they're not covering up their own actions. I don't think they're going to dust this one under the table so Shohei can go out there and hit some dingers. Like, I guess I just don't see...
There's a lot of things where you would say, and I understand where you're coming from, and right now the evidence points to, yes, this is all wrapped up nicely. Yes, somehow he had access to all his bank accounts. He was able to turn off all the... Like, all these things came together in the perfect storm for somebody to spend $17 million of somebody else's money. You don't mean around tax time they weren't looking around going, what? Where's $14 million
going? Maybe he was also the accountant. I don't know. He was doing everything else.
So either Shohei Ohtani has the worst representation in the entire world, or iPay is damn near the highest level of criminal mastermind we've seen in modern America.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like you'd have to be that criminal mastermind. If he trusts him, which we know he did, and he assumed that he had his best interest in mind, which I would argue is probably why he aligned him, you know, had him as close as he did. Then you don't think that someone's going to steal from you? Like I know that we all are like skeptical on some level, but like I don't think anyone's going to steal from me, especially a friend.
This is a tale as old as time. I mean, they did an entire 30 for 30 documentary on people whose closest confidants took advantage of them. Bernie Kosar's dad absolutely did one over on Bernie, right? And he trusted his dad that his dad wasn't going to steal. Well, guess what? Guess who stole a bleep ton of money from Bernie Kosar? His dad. Like, this has happened to athletes all over the place, of people that they think that they can trust. Now, again, the amount of money is eye-popping, but talking to some people that I know in the financial world, they told me, yeah, most of these athletes have no idea. Because the money's coming in from so many different directions.
Streams, yeah.
It's not even just the paycheck you're getting from the baseball team. It's you get the check for this endorsement and then this appearance. And you just don't keep track of it all because it's coming in so fast and so furious, you lose track of it. $16 million seems a lot to lose track of, but it seemed plausible to some of the people I know who operate in like that financial world.
Almost all of those scenarios you're speaking of has some additional involvement. It can never be one singular person taking this much control. They need the financial advisor to be on it. They need the manager to be in on it. Like, it doesn't make sense that one single person could bring financial ruin upon another. It just, to this extent,
$16 million for Shohei. It's not financial ruin.
When they're doing the books at the end of the year, his financial advisor, which I'm sure he has, unless it's literally iPay, which wouldn't make a lot of sense because he's just an interpreter for him and his best friend, where do you account for $17 million missing?
So
it doesn't check out.
So, Josh, are you saying that you are skeptical that Ohtani didn't know?
I'm skeptical of, yes. I'm not even saying he did the betting. I'm saying I find it extremely hard to believe that Shohei and his team, because people of Shohei Ohtani's stature have a lot of people surrounding them, not just the interpreter. I find it hard to believe that he had no idea and no one around him had any idea where $17 million was going on a year-to-year basis. It just doesn't check out.
Well, but it's not like he was $17 million a year.
How long was he? Shohei's been in for like four years?
The total ended up being $17 million, which also he owed $40 million.
Well, if you're a financial...
I don't think the bookie's going to be getting the balance of that now that he's being federally investigated. I find it entirely plausible because this guy would be willing to face 30 years in jail?
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm saying...
Because he's now been indicted, it looks like he's... I don't know if he's going to plead guilty, but if he pleads guilty and ends up getting 15 to 20 years as a reduced sentence, so this guy's just willing to go to jail for 15 to 20 years and then be deported back to Japan?
There's been a lot of things that have happened crazier, Gabe.
Well, yeah, with organized crime.
Oh, is there anything organized about gambling? Do they have connections to organized crime? Like... It's totally in the realm of possibility. The way the story's changed, the way it's evolved, and the way everything has come together, now where every loose end we had remaining out there is, whoop, tied up, perfect. Like, I don't have to, Shohei doesn't have to be doing the gambling, but the fact that that much money's missing and no one said, hey, have you noticed you wired $1 million over or $800,000 over to this guy? What was that?
Well, and there does seem to be at least some negligence on the part of the people that were working with Shohei Ohtani. Did I read correctly that his agent never spoke to anyone other than iPay?
Correct.
Yeah.
And iPay had told the agent that he was given access to his accounts, and the agent was like, well, that must be true. Like, once this thing started to unravel, wouldn't you go and get another interpreter, someone else who spoke Japanese and then had, you know what I mean? I understand that Shohei trusted iPay, and so he was his guy. He was the liaison to the English-speaking people that he had to deal with. But at some point, you're putting an awful lot of trust, again, in this one guy, you know. The agent, to me, it feels like maybe should have at some point had a red flag go off of like, can I trust that the information I'm getting from this interpreter is accurate? Should I go out and get a quote unquote second opinion on the information that is being passed on to me?
Yeah. I mean, again, because iPay seemingly just kind of took control of every situation, which is how something like this happens.
And again, greed, that's nothing new, right? Seven deadly sins and whatnot. But So here's what's crazy to me. We talk about this all the time with these athletes, and we talk about who they connect and have around them and whatnot. They are now teaching these athletes at a younger age financial literacy. They're teaching them about how to vet the people who come into your space. But this is why so many of these guys are put up walls, mm-hmm. put up barriers, you know, boundaries with the public and with other people they come in contact with, because the list of people who have been taken advantage of at one point or another in one way or another is too long. So I understand, like, this is why I'll never fault a guy for being like, I'm going to keep my distance. I'm not going to let people into my inner circle, because too often, you know, it's not just Shohei Ohtani. This is just at a very, very, very high level. They're being taken advantage of by people who have less than top tier morals.
The thing that works in Shohei's favor here is the fact that the interpreter, being his connection to the outside world a lot in America, they can control the conversation a lot. They can literally lie and misrepresent what's being told to them. It doesn't even necessarily have to be Shohei as there's another person here that needs to be held accountable, be it the financial advisor, be it his manager, where it seems fishy that this is going on the way it is. Like, the text messages, this guy was a gambling freak. Like, how are you making $10 bets and also $100,000 bets?
I think that was my favorite part of the story, is that he made bets ranging
from
$10 to $160,000. Wait, what? Once we get to 160, what are we doing with 10 bucks?
And the text messages make it pretty clear. That's a classic gambler. I've sent similar text messages like that when it's, yeah, I just missed it. You know, I got screwed on that one. So it's clear to me that either, like, iPay for sure has a gambling problem. It's just the money and all of it and all the people surrounding him makes it hard to believe that it was one guy, Lone Ranger, all on his own, just taking this down.
But again, it becomes easier because of the language barrier.
It does, but somebody failed Shohei in an incredible way.
Not just one person.
Yeah.
It's multiple people.
Who,
right.
Who are we blaming? He's a grown-ass man. Who do we blame?
I mean, right? You just mentioned his agent.
Which, by the way, I believe is the guy who... Isn't it the same agent as Ryan Braun had? Isn't that the name that I...
I don't remember.
Oh. I did not see the name.
Right. No.
Nez Bolello or something like that?
If you say so.
All right, never mind. Maybe that's just one of those old things that's stuck in my brain. Sorry.
Maybe Shohei doesn't have it, but a lot of people that rich have multiple financial advisors so they can check each other's work. A
little check and balances situation going on.
So, like, there's multiple levels to this, and maybe Shohei doesn't have it. Maybe it ends up that this is more believable than it sounds right now, but it just seems everything was tied up pretty neatly here at the end.
If this was just a Major League Baseball investigation and they're like, oh, well, yeah, everything, like, they're the ones who would have the interest in covering this up. I guess because it's an outside agency who, unless Rob Manfred has deep connections to the FBI, which I doubt, because he's more incompetent than, you know, just about anybody out there. Like, I just don't see the federal government going, yeah, We'll brush this one under the rug for you, Rob.
To be clear, yes, Nez Bilelo is Ryan Braun's agent.
Yeah.
Remember, he handled that whole pee-pee thing, the pee-pee scandal.
Well, he did great with that. He did a great job with Braun for that. It was fantastic.
I was just
in that situation.
That, you think that's as bad as it gets, Nez Bilelo? Not even close.
Maybe we should turn some focus to him. That guy's got scandal following him a lot.
Yeah, but he was good at covering up one. Oh, maybe he's good at covering up another.
Not really.
Well, it worked for a while.
Yeah, but then
for like
it
2 years.
Came out. Then the truth came out. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.